Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Everything is Black and White podcast. It's time for the match preview with me, Andrew Musgrove and John Gibson. Newcastle head down to Fulham on Saturday on the back of a 1-1 draw against Everton. Fulham come into this game having lost 3-1 to Nottingham Forest. So fair to say both sides in need of a victory after two disappointing results. John, before we look ahead to Fulham, let's briefly talk about where Tuesday night, wasn't it, against Everton. How are you feeling after that performance, after that result? A bit deflated?
Deflated. I thought the performance was fine for the majority of the game. I thought the starting lineup was okay. And I thought they played well without having the cutting edge to put the game to bed. We almost did with the second goal that was factionally offside, etc. But my worry, unfortunately, came true as the game went on. You just had to take one look at the bench to know where our problem was. And you also had to, you knew that people like Hall and Anderson and Barnes, all of whom first half were terrific, their legs were going to go because they haven't played enough. And when they did go, we didn't have enough variation on the bench to even keep the standard, never mind improve it. And we got caught in the at the end. And what made it a double whammy for me, absolutely horrific, was regardless of them doing so much better in the second half, they still have no cutting edge whatsoever. And first and foremost, they, you know, we tend to want to be nice, and of course we do, and Paul Dummett's been a wonderful servant to Newcastle United. But it was an absolute atrocious mistake for an experienced player to lose his control as much as that and haul down Young in the box when there was absolutely no danger. The ball flew over both the heads straight into the gloves of Dubravka. There was no danger whatsoever. A young, inexperienced player, you might have understood, but still been very upset. But a guy of his experience, I mean, there was absolutely no question that it was a penalty. That's the sadness of it all. It was a penalty. It wasn't a bad decision. It was a correct decision. But for Paul to do that, I just couldn't believe it. And then to compound the whole thing, Calvin Lewin, who cornered a bond or three paces, took a poor penalty in my estimation. It was a poor penalty. Nobody said that in the morning papers. They all said, oh, the man that had the guts to step up and take the penalty. He actually took it badly. And it struck, the goalkeeper went the right way, Dubravka, it struck him on the arm and flew off into the top of the net. It was a very, very lucky goal. And overall, it just left a bad, bad taste because we were in need. We had talked, hadn't we, in our podcast last week of the need for 6 points from these two home games. And we had them with a couple of minutes to go, albeit we got another 9 minutes of extra time added on. But it wasn't a good result for us. And I thought Newcastle deserved to win. But the reason they didn't win, look at the bench. We had two keepers on the bench, plus a load of kids, Diarro, Alex Murphy, Parkinson, White, plus a couple of yesterday's golden oldies, Dummett and Ritchie. There was nothing apart from Willett, who's out of form and didn't come on and make an impact as a sub. There was nothing on the bench to give us hope. Their bench was a lot stronger. if you can be, for the position they're in down at the bottom. But the bench told us everything, and sadly, we were punished. We just had to put away that second goal when we were in the ascendancy. And in the first half was so one way, it was almost embarrassing. They were awful, and we were good. And if there's pluses, Anderson and Hall and Barnes all played well. All did super, I thought, but of course the legs caught up with them, and they were low. Barnes had to stay on. He wasn't the same player.
Yeah, you felt with every missed chance Newcastle had, you know, Isak had one that he should have put away. You always felt Everton were going to get that equaliser, whether it be through quality or good luck on their part, and they unfortunately did so. And you mentioned there the bench, John. It's not going to get any better, because after the Everton game, Eddie Howe confirmed Miguel Almirón likely to be out for a month. Kieran Trippier still not ready to play. Livramento out for a month. So they've picked up three more injuries in the past couple of games. And if Newcastle were tired in the second half against Everton, it's another reasonably quick turnaround to the game against Fulham. He can't really make too many changes, if at all. So it's likely to be the same starting 11 you would think that started against Everton.
Gordon will play.
Gordon will come back, and you are correct. So yes,
that's, I mean, Gordon, you're right. That's
Gordon aside, the rest of the team, you know, they're looking leggy.
Gordon's big because he's the player of the year for me. Gordon's big, but he's the only one. We're going to be stuck with the Benz again. The golden oldies and the Benz, and the only possibility is we have one keeper on instead of two, because somebody can drop to the bench for Gordon to start. So that'll take the second keeper out. But the bench is going to be full of kids, as it was. And then we've got to hope that people like Hall and Barnes and Anderson can go again. Having never played for Yonks, we've got to have them go again for the second time in a few days. I mean, I had a look at it, Andrew. After, you know, I was so sick at the way things turned out. I had a look at it. And if you look who was not available against Everton, it's a terrific team. Listen to this. Pope and goal. Back four, Trippier, Lascelles, Botman, Livramento. Middle three, Tonali, Miley and Joe Linton. Front three, Almirón, Wilson and Gordon, with Target held in reserve. That's a good team. And none of them were available. That's a good side.
Yeah, no, 100% agree with you. I saw the graphic the day, actually, of a similar side. And it is amazing, the players that they are missing. You are right. Of course, Gordon will be back for Fulham, which is a massive plus. I guess, looking elsewhere, though, I mean, he's likely to... Well, how will he come in? Do you reckon he might come in for Murphy on the right and keep Barnes on the left?
I was going to say, I think it'll all depend on how Harvey Barnes is feeling. If Harvey Barnes is capable of starting again. He was super first half. He gave a great ball for Isak's goal. He looked the quality player that he can be. Can he start again? Or is he going to be better as an impact sub coming on in the second half, because there's not 90 minutes in him? But he'll either start on the right, leaving Harvey Barnes on the left, or he'll start on the left and Barnes will be the impact. So I think if Barnes is super fit, you'd probably start for Murphy.
Yeah, but Murphy, again, I thought had a decent enough game against Everton. Always looking to put the ball in the box. There was a couple of crosses where you were just crying out for a striker to get their head on it, and no one was there to meet the cross. I think it'll be Murphy and Gordon. I think he might put Barnes on the bench just because he didn't look the same player in the second half, you know.
No, he didn't. He had to complete the 90 minutes, Andrew, where Hall and Anderson did get a small rest near the end. Barnes had to complete the 90 minutes, and I think you're absolutely right. Barnes will be the impact sub, but he will make an impact. I mean, the awful thing is, will it come on in name only, bless him? He didn't come on and make an impact, and unfortunately, Dunwood come on and did make an impact, but not the one we wanted.
Yeah, the wrong impact. And I guess when you haven't got the options to change it, so you will against Fulham have at least, well, you'll possibly have two game changers on the bench. You know, Willick might be the other one, and then either Barnes, Gordon, or Murphy. But what you need in that first half, in that first hour, is you need Newcastle United to take the chances. You need Newcastle United to be clinical, because that's what cost them against Everton. They didn't take the chances they created. They allowed Everton back into the game. The inevitable happened. They go up against Fulham, who are very good at home. Only Fulham have picked up more points this season at home than Newcastle United. That shows you what a fortress Craven Cottage is. So Newcastle cannot underestimate them. And if they do manage to create down there, they have to put the ball in the back of the net. They can't be missing from 6 yards out. They can't be hitting the defender on the line. They've got to put the ball in the back of the net.
Yeah, that is the one thing that let us down in the first 45 minutes, the first 50 minutes, whatever. Yes, Isak's terrific, and he continued to be terrific. It's ironic that I did an article about a week or 10 days ago in the Kron saying, come on, you can be the first to reach 20 goals in a season since 2004 when it was Big Alan Shearer. He had 16 at that stage. And where is he now? He's 19. He's bound to reach 20. He's got 8 games left, and he'll probably get beyond 20. And what a good finish. I mean, it was a great ball from Harvey Barnes, but he had a lot to do. And he took out 2 quality players in the centre half who everybody's saying will be £100 million sell into the big time, the ex-Carlisle kid, and the England's Euro goalkeeper, Pickford, who it really saddens me and sickens me to say, but was terrific and was probably one of the reasons Newcastle didn't win. Hates me to say because he's not the love of my life by any means, because he's an aggravating little Macam that likes to bring out the worst in everybody and therefore is easy to dislike. But he did well. He did well. But Isak did terrific on the goal. I mean, the ball he gave for Burnt to score when Isak was fractionally offside, it must have been a hair on his leg, was a wonderful ball as well. So he is a hope, but we've got to, as you rightly say, we've got to finish. We've got to get goals, because that is the big difference. And they were poor first off. They were really poor. Fulham won't be as poor as that at home. But we've got to remember that we're going for a hat-trick of wins against Fulham this season, because not only did we do them up here 3-0, but we've done them down there in the FA Cup 2-0, if you remember. So we're going... Can you believe that we're going for a hat-trick of wins, that we haven't conceded a goal against them in the 2 games and we've scored 5? I mean, that's not a Newcastle United record this season. They always concede goals. It's going to be a lot more difficult than it was in the FA Cup. There's no question about that. And we aren't on a... I mean, I don't know. Andrew, I don't know what to expect from Newcastle these days. There is nothing... Apart from our love of the club, there's nothing to give you hope that they're going on a sustained run of victories to clinch Europe. There's nothing in the form to give you that hope. I mean, it was a wonderful, exhilarating victory over West Ham. But it all papered over the first 70 minutes, which was awful when we were 3-1 down. We finished so strongly, 4-3, it was absolutely wonderful. But then... we don't capitalise, we get a draw with Everton. I mean, we have taken 1 point out of 6 against Everton this season, Andrew. That's costing us dear, because they're awful.
I think a lot of people are.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewellery from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Well, a lot of people have also mentioned the fact that you've picked up very limited points against Bournemouth, Luton, and Everton. It's not good enough.
We lost Forest at home.
Forest, of course, as well. You know, if you're looking for European football, you've got to be beating these sides down the bottom. Of course, they are mitigating circumstances with the injuries and what have you. But at the same time, You should be beating Everton at home, especially when you've gone 1-0 up, especially when they haven't won since mid-December. And Newcastle need a reaction against Fulham. But as you say, John, I'm not sitting here thinking they're going to win the game. I'm not sitting here thinking they're going to get beat. You just don't know what to expect from Newcastle.
No, you don't.
And they do, as I said, go to Fulham. We're very good at home. Fulham will be wanting a reaction, having lost 3-1 to Nottingham Forest on Tuesday. They were pretty poor against them. Their away form's not great as it is. So it's going to be a difficult game. And with the injuries that we've mentioned, it just reaffirms the point we've just made. You know, Eddie Howe hasn't got the ability to change the game on the hour mark. Not really. Newcastle United need to be 2-3 goals up if they get the chances before they need 4 changes, before players start getting tired.
I actually felt, you know, I normally, as you know, Andrew, I normally get full of anger when we let ourselves down because I think we're better than that, etc. But I actually felt sorry for them against Everton because the team that went out at the start gave it a real go, apart from being able to finish. And the players whose legs were new would go, Anderson, Hall and Barnes, were amongst the better performers. I mean, I think we knew that they would never last 90 minutes. I mean, yes, Bruno on top of that. Yes, Byrne. And I would like to make the point with Byrne. He was excellent. But you know why? Because he was playing in the position that he was supposed to play in, and it is his position. If you look at him, he's built for that. He's born to be a centre-half. He's not born to be a left-back when you're about 8'6", and he's born to be a centre-half. And he plays that with an honest-to-goodness and doesn't get exposed too often on pace. And he was terrific in that position, in good form. And by Jove, didn't he need it? Mustn't it be relief privately to think, well, I can have a bit of confidence playing here because this is what I'm built to do. And I don't want to play left-back. Thank you very much if I can help it, because that is absolutely killing me at the moment. And so, you know, he can be used occasionally at left back, but not regularly at left back. And I thought he did terrific last night. I thought he was excellent. But we're still looking for something out of Longstaff. We're still looking for something out of Willick. They're not quite what they ought to be. Kraft, bless him. You know, that's his level. Not the best right back that we have on the club books, but there you go. Hall did well. Anderson did well. And they're two kids. But we know the potential of Anderson. We saw a bit of the potential of Hall. And we need Barnes to stay fit and do what he does. A little bit more regular, but he's going to need games under his belt to be able to do that. Unfortunately, we haven't got enough games left to wait for these people to get up to the full mark, because we've got 8 games left and it's do or die. We're still in with a chance. I said we had to win both the games to have any chance of you. And to be truthful, I'm not pinning all my hopes on Europe at the moment. We're still in with a chance because a few other teams drew. We pegged West Ham back. They didn't win at home against Spurs. Brighton is, we've got to see what their midweek game results in, but they've got some difficult fixtures coming up. We're still in with a chance, but we're hardly really grasping it, are we? We're hardly getting a hold of it and saying, hey, come on, we are good enough for you. Let's go. We'll get you. We don't actually believe that. But when I looked at the bench, my heart sank and I felt sorry for Newcastle, to be truthful, because that bench is never a bench of a side that has a good chance of getting into Europe. And that's not having a go at the kids, because they will be good players eventually, but not at the moment. They haven't got the experience. That's why they weren't brought on. And you know, Dummett, when did he last, you know, make a big impact in the Premier League? Richie scored as a sub in that other game to get us a draw, but and then 2 goalkeepers, third and fourth choice goalkeepers. It and as you rightly said, the bench is only going to be better by one player down at Fulham, and that's whoever drops out to let Gordon in.
Yeah, And the squad depth that Newcastle don't have is clear for everyone to see, and it's going to be interesting to see how they deal with that in the summer. Obviously, they'll have players back from injury. They'll have Tenali back eventually, but they're going to have to add to the squad. And one player who has been strongly linked is the Fulham centre-back Tosin, who is available on a free transfer, if I'm not mistaken, in the summer. And he would be a very good addition to this Newcastle United back line, John. You know, he's going to be a man who's going to try and keep Isak quiet on Saturday. Would you like to see him in black and white?
I'd like to see him fail to keep Isak quiet on Saturday, first and foremost. And then I would almost like to see anybody in black and white at centre-half come the summer, because centre-half was always on the shopping list anyway. There's no question about that. We wanted a centre-half. But by Jove, with what's happened to Botman and what's happened to Lascelles, we really do need a centre-half, don't we? And when you think that outside of Botman, really our defenders, Trippier and Byrne and Lascelles and Shaw, are all alongside of 30. So, you know, we need to get some youth in there, and maybe Shaw and Livramento will help with that. But yes, we need the centre-half big time.
Yeah, I'm sure Newcastle scouts and anyhow will be watching him closely on Saturday, but hopefully Isak can get him down a peg or two. And Fulham have got some quality players tossing aside. Munez up front has found his form, so whoever is at centre-back for Newcastle, you likely think it'll be Cher and Byrne. They're going to have their work cut out there. You know, Iwobi's another one they're going to have to try and keep quiet, and you couple that with their home form, John. Last six games at home, they've picked up 13 points for them. So, like we say, it is a fortress or thereabouts. Newcastle are going to have a tough day in West London on Saturday.
Yeah, they're going to have a tough day. They wouldn't have a tough day if we could field that 11 I just named that wasn't available, and all that 11 outside of Gordon won't be available again. But it's going to be a tough day because we've almost got to do it with the 11 at start. Yes, you've got Willock to come on, but he's not in any sort of form himself where he looks as if he'd make an impact. But you will have a wide player in either Barnes or Murphy, and it'll probably be Barnes as the impact sub, who can make a difference. But that's about it. You don't expect Dummett to make a big difference. You don't expect Richie to make a big difference. The rest are kids and two goalkeepers. There's not anybody that's going to take the game by the scruff of the neck. And therefore, Newcastle, because how fit will Barnes and will Hall and Anderson and maybe Barnes be on Saturday to last longer than they lasted last night when they're playing again within 3 days or whatever? You know, their legs are going to go in the second half, there's no question. And therefore, you're going to do what you said, which is gamble on us being two goals up and then staying nice and compact when we have to make the team changes. But, I mean, we don't want a draw or, heaven forbid, us behind in 70 minutes and bring on subs, because they're not going to change the game.
And I guess, though, some might argue, John, some might ask the question of Eddie Howe and say, well, look, you've played three games in the space of a week. A lot of players who have played the majority of minutes have just come back from long-term injuries, so they can't be match fit. They've got fatigue. They're flagging. Lewis Hall goes off because of fatigue. He's picking up injuries. Why not gamble with the youngsters on the bench, you know, for the last 20 minutes? You know, Joe White, Amadou Diallo, Alex Murphy. I mean, I would like to have seen Alex Murphy come on instead of Paul Dummett, truth be told, because from what we've seen of Murphy in pre-season and the brief cameos we've seen in the League Cup, he looks a good quality player. And I think he probably would have done a better job than Paul Dummett. I don't suspect he would have pulled out a wrestling move on Calvert-Lewin and conceded the penalty. Ben Parkinson's also featured briefly at times this season in pre-season as well. Eddie Howe's in a position where I think actually if he plays these youngsters, even just for 25, 30 minutes, 15 minutes, I don't think anyone's going to criticise him. I don't think anyone's going to think bad of him because we all understand the situation he's in. So why not? You know, he's got nothing to lose in this instance. We've got everything to gain in terms of letting a youngster go out, make a claim for a place. You know, let these youngsters finish the season strongly and hopefully help Newcastle into a European place.
Yeah, I mean, I can follow all that reasoning. Certainly, I don't think we can start and spread the load by starting with any of the kids on Saturday. That is too much of a risk. I think you've got to use them late on. And the two obvious ones to be used out of the four that was on the bench would be Alex Murphy at centre-back in White in midfield. They're the two that have got a little something, or perhaps a slightly further down the line than the other two. But there does seem to be a reluctance. I mean, there's questions can be asked with the way that Hall played against Everton and the way he did when he went on to sub against West Ham. And he's been fit all this time. Why hasn't he been played a bit more, either as a sub or from the start? You know, we're just seeing him now. I mean, what's been the reluctance there?
I suppose, John, Eddie Howe might actually use that as an answer to my previous question. Say, well, look, I didn't feel Lewis Hall was ready. We've had to build him up to this point. And he might turn around and say, it's exactly the same for Alex Murphy. It's exactly the same for Amadou Diallo. They're not ready to be thrown in at this moment. We've got to build them up to a certain level that when we do let them loose, they can perform like Lewis Hall is at the moment. Others would say, well, look, you've literally got no options. Your back is against the wall. Can Diallo make a bigger impact in a 20-minute cameo than a Harvey Barnes who was running on empty, just coming back from a long-term injury? Can that are the sort of questions which I think are the big questions to be asked for these remaining games of the season. Yeah.
And of course, you've got to remember that as far as Lewis Hall's concerned, what's he been held back for? He played about 11, 12, 13 games for Chelsea's first team last season and looked a good enough player for us to want to sign him and commit ourselves to about 28 million on him. You know, he has been a baffle all season and remains so. And when he comes on and does quite well, it just makes it all the more baffling, if we're truthful. And he hasn't been injured. I mean, his legs are just gone because he's played so little.
Yeah.
Not because he's coming back from injury. He's played so little. He may as well have been injured because we've never really seen him. But we ought to see him a lot more now because, you know, needs must. And I think Murphy's at the stage where he looks as if he's a kid for the future, Alex Murphy. And therefore, yes, and we saw him fleetingly pre-season. And as you say, would he do any worse than Dummett did when he come on? White, yes, his experience is a crew Alexander, which is not quite Newcastle United in the Premier League, but nonetheless, as a short pitch late in the game, why not? And I think they're going to be forced into that situation very, very shortly, because bear in mind, we're not going to get Almirón or Livramento back this month, and we're probably not going to get Trippier back against Spurs in the game after Fulham. So, you know, you're going to be talking about Murphy and White being around the subs bench for a little while.
You are, but looking back on this season and what Eddie Howe has done in terms of using the youngsters, I can't see them getting too many minutes, even though you're right. He's probably in a position where most managers would be forced to use these youngsters, but there is a reluctance from Eddie Howe. And of course, he sees them day in, day out on the training ground. He sees a lot more than we do. So you'll have his reasons and you back the manager 100% in it. But I don't think we'll see too much of them, despite the fact that the senior players who are playing probably could do with a rest on an hour mark. 75 yeah. minutes.
You're more likely to see Dummett come on. Well, yeah. I mean, Dummett was brought on at centre-back ahead of Murphy. And you're more likely than seeing one of the kids, you're more likely to see Matt Ritchie trundled out after 80 minutes to do a cameo. You know, that's the way it is with this manager. Is he right or is he wrong? He lived by results, like all managers do. And a lot of managers love to gamble with kids, and a lot of managers are very, very loyal to the senior players. Eddie fits into that second category. But, you know, we've got to look. What's he do this at Fulham? If we have a situation where Hall's going off, or what do you do? do you bring Dummett in or do you bring Alex Murphy in and move Byrne? It's interesting. It's something that he's going to have to look at and then perhaps throw caution to the wind a little bit more than be cautious. I mean, yes, if it's not so bad if we end up 2-0 up or 3-0 up by the time you come to 65 or 70 minutes. But if it's a draw, and heaven forbid, if we're losing by a goal, where you go? You bring Matt Ritchie on so he can equalise in the 92nd minute, of course, which happened at St. James's Park, if you remember. But yes, whichever way you stick or twist, there's problems. Beneath the starting 11, there's big problems.
There certainly is. Let's quickly run through that team then, John. Martin Dubravka, Emil Kraft, you would think, Cher, Botman, Lewis Hall, Spotman, wishful thinking, Dan Byrne, sorry. Sharon Byrne at centre back with Lewis Hall left back. Anthony Gordon, I think, on the left with Jacob Murphy on the right, Harvey Barnes to drop to the bench. In the middle, Longstaff, Bruno, Anderson, and then
Isaac Okoro.
I think that'll be the team. The only one question mark is whether he starts Joe Willock ahead of Elliot Anderson on Saturday.
No way, Jose, if Elliot Anderson can walk or limp, because Willock looks a shell of himself at the moment, and he looked a shell of himself against West Ham, and he looked a shell of himself when he come on last night. Anderson's vibrant.
There was one moment from Joe Willock, and it was literally the only thing he did all night against Everton, where he got the ball and he did manage to carry it 40, 50 yards, and then he turned back on himself. That was all he did, but there was that little brief moment. I'm going to hope that's something he can replicate and improve on.
I hope that he could do it more than one moment, and I hope he wouldn't turn back on himself at the end of it and negate it all. But I honestly, for this particular game, and this is not talking about whether Anderson's a better overall player than Willock when they're both on the pump.
Yeah.
Not at all. But right now, Anderson's a better bet than Willock. As he is a better bet than Longstaff.
Well, yes. And we've been seeing that for a long time. But I think Longstaff's a safe bet to start on Saturday despite...
There's nobody else. There's nobody else.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because he definitely could do with a rest and he didn't have the best game against Everton again. But as you say, no one else to replace him and he'll likely start on Saturday. How big of a game is this, John, then, in terms of Newcastle's achievements this season if they don't pick up 3 points?
All 8 games are huge. And to be honest, I don't know where to come from because I don't know what Newcastle we're going to see. I don't know what we're capable of seeing with the bench they have. I think it's going to be hard to make Europe. I really think it's going to be hard. And when you look at the fixture list, you know, it's not bad. But, and this is a huge but, we are better against better teams. And we're poor against poorer teams. I mean, West Ham were above us in the table when we beat them. And we do... You know, we've got Spurs and Man United to come. But we do better against those sides. When we play the sides down the bottom, you look at Everton, you look at Nottingham Forest coming to Newcastle, you look at Bournemouth coming to Newcastle, you look at Luton coming to Newcastle, and we don't beat one of them at St. James's Park, for goodness sake. So how can you say, and Fulham are beneath us, and will still be beneath us, even if they beat us, they're good at home, they're so rotten away, but we've beaten them twice this season. But, you know, you're looking at sides and you think, Newcastle last season, that's 3 points. You can't say that now, not with any real assurance that it's going to happen, and yet it's got to happen. And we need a run of form. We don't just need a win and then a setback and then a point and then something. We need a run if we're going to make it. Where's the run going to come from? Next 2 games, is it going to come? Are we going to beat Fulham away and then Spurs at home? Who knows? I mean, we're daft enough to lose at Fulham and beat Spurs.
Yeah.
When when really the result should be the other way around if we're going to win one and lose one. But then, you know, we, and in some ways I feel better when we're playing a side of some reputation.
Hmm. And would 7 points from the last nine be enough, John, for you? They beat Fulham?
If we beat Fulham. But will we beat Fulham? And if we draw, which would normally not be a bad result away from home, you know, a side that's won, what, 9 out of 15 at home in the Premier League, Fulham, would a draw be good enough? But not really.
Not in terms of what Newcastle want to achieve.
But, in terms of Europe.
Yeah.
In terms of nailing on a European position. We've got to win, really.
Had we won
against Everton, and with 2 minutes of normal time to go, we had, until all of a sudden we're into the wrestling arena, you know, which was absolutely ludicrous. I mean, fuming about it because it was so stupid and so unnecessary. I mean, the ball just fizzed over both the heads and dropped into the arms of Tubaka. I mean, what on... If you give away a penalty because a fella's going through and has already rounded the keeper and going to slot it home and you take him out, it's a penalty, but at least you know why it happened. I don't know why that one happened. There's no excuse like, well, it was a young lad panicking.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't a young lad panicking. It was an experienced footballer panicking. In panicking at a stage where there wasn't a danger. It was an absolute nonsense, and that changed everything. And it's put under the cosh to go down there. There's no question about that. But I can't sort of enjoy approaching games at the moment, because what is there that tells me Newcastle are going to make you? They definitely can. And mathematically, they can. Of course, they can mathematically. And, you know, you can look at the fixture list and make out a good case for it. But then you can look at recent results and make out a case for it not to happen at all.
Yeah, it's certainly put the pressure on this one, given that Newcastle still want to achieve European football for next season. John, give me your result prediction then. Can Newcastle United pick up the win against Fulham?
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. They can, yes, but I think they'll draw. They can win, of course they can win. But then when you look at the bench, you say they can't win. Because will Hall, Barnes and Anderson last 90 minutes when they didn't last night and they're playing again within 3 days? Probably not. So then you're as strong as your subs. Will the subs be good enough? Well, surely Dummett wouldn't do that again. And surely Willett won't turn on himself if he comes on this time, and they will have, say, Barnes. So, you know, maybe we'll get away with it. Maybe. I think it'll be a draw. What do you think?
I've got to say, I've got a horrible feeling about this one. I've got a horrible feeling. Fulham are very good at home. I mean, they made light work of Spurs, beat them 3-0. The last time they lost was mid-February, I think, against Aston Villa, which, you know, Aston Villa going very strongly in the league. So not the worst, you know, not the biggest surprise there. Newcastle's away form, Fulham's home form, Newcastle's injuries. I think the manner in which they've let the lead slip against Everton after dominating really the majority of the game, and they should have picked up all 3 points. They should have been out of sight by the hour mark. I wonder how much that's impacted Newcastle in the dressing room. Bruno, when he left the pitch, was decimated. He was, you know, you could tell he was absolutely good. I don't know. I'm not feeling confident about this one. I can see them getting beat. I have to be honest, and I can see them losing it. And I think that would put an end to any hope of European football for next season, sadly.
Yeah. If I was pushed, and I wouldn't want to be pushed, I would say that Newcastle won't make Europe. And I'm going for a draw just because we've got to cling on to something. And just because what I saw in the first hour, surely somebody would put away a second goal if we played like that for an hour again. Yes, they are a good home side, but they're not world beaters. And we won down there in the cup, and I know it's a different attitude in the cup. We won down there 2-0 in the cup. They're not world beaters. And we ought to be seeing them off. But like you, the one thing the both of us have done is not forecast a Newcastle win.
Well, hopefully it does happen. It tends to happen when we predict a loss or a draw. They tend to turn up and get a victory. Wonderful world of football. You know, it's a weird and wonderful game, isn't it? So fingers crossed they can pick up all 3 points. And I don't know how to describe it. Our pessimism towards this game was unfounded. But yeah, this has been the Everything is Black and White podcast with me and John Gibson. Head over to chroniclelive.co.uk for all the latest Newcastle United news. Hit subscribe, hit follow if you're watching on YouTube. Leave us a written and review if you listen on the podcast channel. It's been a pleasure, as always. And for myself and John, we'll see you guys next week.